So, went to go see Spider-Man. It's really good.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, big fan.
Very tense because you like we go in the movies and we're like, oh man, what if Russ gets traded while we're in the movie?
I know, I had already thought about it and I was like 100% like I will walk out of the theater in the middle of the movie if Russ gets traded. Like there's no doubt in my mind that I just will not be able to concentrate and it will be useless for me to be in that in the movie. But luckily,
We
I
sat
think Sam
through,
Presti and Daryl Morey were very nice.
yeah. We sat through the full credits. We got to that second
Yep.
end credit
Oh,
scene at the
nice.
very end.
Yep.
It finished playing out, and then Alex got an ESPN notification, not even the Woj notification. He somehow dodged that one. And I'm reading over his shoulder, and I'm not sure I understand what I'm reading.
Yeah,
I
for
also missed a
sure.
Woj notification and an initial text from a different friend, Max. Shout out to Max. He confirmed to me today he listens to the pod. But he texted in a different group chat, like Woj's tweet and with question marks. And he's like, guys, because no one was responding to him yet after 3 minutes. And like the first thing I got was the ESPN notification. I was eating dinner.
This
What would you
was
prefer, in the middle, right in the middle of Spider-Man, or at 1:30 in the morning for the news to break? Which is preferable?
I would prefer, if I don't have anything going on the next day, I will take 1:30 in the morning because I don't have to worry about like if I have to like work or something the next day, then give me in the middle of Spider-Man. But
Right.
yeah,
I
I don't
agree
care
with that.
that much about my sleep on days that I don't have anything the next day, which was the case with the Paul George situation. So
Also, man, we really rode the storm on this one. Get signing up like because Twitter was down for like an hour today, and
right.
then we
I
went
know, and
ahead
I
and
had a good
voluntarily
tweet.
signed up for like another 2 hours of no phone time.
Right. Although I was definitely reading notifications.
Oh yeah.
Marcus Morris signed with the Knicks and the
I got
Spurs
really
signed Trey
concerned when I saw that
Lyles.
you had gotten the Shams notification, and then it was just Marcus Morris making a bad
Yeah. I was annoyed. And then right after the movie was over, it hit. And we were still in the movie, like in the theater. We had to walk out as we were reading about it. But like I could not have been more surprised for a lot of reasons. Like, I'm not necessarily surprised that Russ wound up with Houston. Like, I know it seemed unlikely and it was pretty unlikely, but I could not have imagined the Thunder taking back Chris Paul. Like, I
Right.
just had no idea that that was even something that they would consider. And that's why I had never taken the Heat, or not the Heat, but the Rockets stuff really that seriously. But I thought that, like, yeah, this is probably a place that Russ is going to want to go. Like, I could see him really wanting to play with James Harden, even, a lot more than going down and playing with Jimmy Butler. So I wasn't surprised from that standpoint. But yeah, the Thunder, the Thunder, the one thing that I had heard that the Thunder were looking for is that they wanted to get out of the luxury tax with this trade. And, Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook's contracts are exactly the same, with Chris Paul having one fewer year on the contract at the end. So, yeah, that was my thought. Like, what were you guys thinking as soon as it happened?
Sam, you go first, because
Yeah, I mean,
you
I was
have a
just
timeline.
thinking, kind of, Alex had a tweet. Don't know, can't remember exactly what it says. Like, what the hell are the Thunder even going to do with Chris Paul? And that was kind of my initial reaction. Like, you take it back because they have the exact same contract, right?
Russ's
Yeah,
ends
from a
1 year
money
later.
standpoint,
From a money
yeah.
standpoint, yeah. So you take back the exact same contract. So like from that perspective, it makes sense. But it's like Alex tweeted, what do you do with Chris Paul? Like, is What is the plan here? I mean, you accumulated more two more distant first round picks. Like, what is the plan here? Was kind of my initial reaction. I don't know. I really didn't know how to feel, because, you know, like when you're blowing up your stars for assets, you know, even a player as great as Paul George, like, you're fine with it because you get awesome assets. But when you blow up, like, you send Russell Westbrook away, you're hoping, you know, we're all kind of thinking Miami was the move. And even if it's just that Presti doesn't have leverage and you end up with, you know, just Justice Winslow and contracts for filler, like, you're like, okay, well, we got something, and now we're done with Russell Westbrook. So now it's just like a weird state of what is. I mean, still, you would have to think that, I mean, the reports are already coming out that Chris Paul might want to be in Miami, so the Thunder probably going to try and flip him too. You don't know, but so that was kind of the initial reaction. Like, this still isn't done.
Yeah, that really was my reaction too. Is like, oh my God, like, this happened, but really is still happening. Like, because you knew at that moment, it's like, the Thunder could try and run this back, but that wouldn't be smart. That wouldn't be good. And so, like, they're probably going to try and have to move Chris Paul now, which is weird. And, like, immediately my thought is that the Thunder definitely won this trade. I'm just really, I couldn't believe that either side did this. Like, it's a really strange move for both teams.
Yeah.
I think it will work out for the Thunder, but I think the Rockets legitimately might have given the Thunder picks and gotten worse.
It's hard to say. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I mean, I think that it's just a, like, Daryl Morey is just the ultimate, like, gambler. Like, that's really what he does. And I think there is a scenario that you could come up with that the Rockets' ceiling could be higher with Russ. Like, I think the floor and the probably median outcome of what's going to happen with them is probably worse than what would have happened if they kept Chris Paul. But I think, you know, if Russ, for whatever reason, finds a way to shoot the 34% that he did 2 years ago, and, you know, I don't know. It's not a great idea, but it's not a huge possibility, but it is a possibility, you know,
right,
that Russ could shoot. But and that would raise the ceiling for the Rockets, I think. And I guess that's better. And, like, just the idea that Harden doesn't hate Russell Westbrook, and so that would be good for them. But I think it really speaks to the fact that the Thunder wanted to send Russ where he wanted to go. I really believe that, because, like, I feel like they could have used this as a leverage play with Miami, you know, like, say, hey, we've got 2 first round draft picks coming from Miami, so you've got to give us some reason to trade him to you, you know. But I think that in the end, like, Miami was probably pretty hesitant to give up a whole lot for Russ. And the fact, I think Russ probably would have preferred to go to Houston, is really what made this deal happen more than anything, I think.
Yeah, and that's what Royce was reporting, is that Russ's preferred destination was Houston, which isn't what people thought all along.
Right. Shocker that was the case in a Thunder deal.
Right. I can't remember who I saw tweet, if it was Royce Young, or it might even been Spencer Hall or Jason Concepcion from The Ringer. Someone tweeted that it's the ultimate play for Daryl Morey not planning on being around to use those 2024 draft picks anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, he's just making the move now, trying to throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, I think that Morey's really never even cared that much about draft picks in general. Like, he was literally trying to trade 4 of them for Jimmy Butler this year. So, like, he clearly doesn't value the draft. So, yeah, he's maybe not planning on being there, but he also is, you know, he probably doesn't care either way. So, yeah, I think that this is just basically the most Houston Rockets move you could imagine. I think, really. And it's kind of wild. Like, the Rockets now have two Supermax guys on the same basketball team, and they're going to be paying these guys so much money over the next 4 years. Like, it's pretty unbelievable. And, like, looking at the picks the Thunder got, like, I'm a little concerned about the top four protections on them, because the Rockets are going to probably be in a position where they are horrendous. And at least by 2026, they're going to suck a lot. So, you know, that to me is a little concerning, that the two picks they got were not unprotected. But, you know, top four is, you know, that's a pretty light protection. So I'm not.
I mean, that's a pretty much, of course, that's pretty much a brawny protection in 2024.
Right. Right. Well, and, like, the other thing is that, like, I mean, the lottery means that absolutely anything can happen.
Right. Like, yeah, they could have the worst record in the league and get the fifth pick. So,
yeah,
they're that's true. Okay. So I was thinking about this on my way home. It was nice to have, like, an hour, because, like, Ryan and I were at the movies, and then I drove home. So I was like, hey, we should podcast, but I want to drive home first. And I was happy to have the hour to kind of think about it. And I'm just thinking about what the Thunder have now. And I'm just going to work under the assumption that Chris Paul is going to get traded. Yeah. Like, I think that a deal with Miami makes sense, because Miami's not going to have to give up anything that they wanted to keep in a rush trade now. Like,
right.
I'm sure OKC would be happy to just be like, yeah, just give us the contracts. We don't even care. We don't even care about getting Winslow. Just give us the contracts.
Do you think OKC might even have to dump picks just to get rid of Chris Paul?
I think it's a possibility. I think they will try to avoid that at all costs. Like, I think there would be a non-zero chance that they would just take him into the season if they had to dump picks at this point, you know, and maybe they would start out the year, and then if he were playing well, then they could flip him for something. But I think they will try to avoid it. And, you know, I we're talking about what Houston was doing early in the offseason when it looked like they were trying to trade Chris Paul. And I think they were a little bit limited in the fact that, like, they were not in a position to make a trade with Chris Paul that would make them considerably worse. And they also, like, nobody's taking Chris Paul as just a straight, like, nobody could absorb him into cap space, right?
Right.
So I think the Thunder might be in a better position to trade him than the Rockets were, because the Thunder don't have to worry about getting anything for him that matters, right?
Yeah.
Like, because they got the assets they were looking for trading Russ, and now anything they get for Chris Paul is just nothing. Like, you could just get off his salary, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. If they have to attach a pick, like, I think there is a point in time where they would do that, but I don't think it would happen this offseason. Which, honestly, that's one of the main things that I'm kind of disappointed by in this trade, is that I was wanting this to be over. You know, I was wanting to have like a peace of mind about the Thunder's offseason moves and be like, okay, I think I know what's going to happen, you know, how the team's going to look going in. And now I'm going to just be on pins and needles, you know, trying to find, okay, when's the Chris Paul trade going to come down, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a bit disappointing. But back to what I was talking about with the Thunder and the way that they've kind of set up their attribute or their assets. And it looks really interesting to me that the 2024 and 2026 drafts are kind of drafts that they've loaded up on. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they have three picks apiece in both of those. And I think that the timing of it could work out really well, in that basically the Thunder are going to have two or three years in this next few drafts. And if they can find core pieces by 2022 or 2023 that really matter, like guys that you know that you're going to want to build around, they're going to have like a billion draft picks that they can go into 2024, 2026 with. If there's a guy that isn't, you know, happy in his current situation, the Thunder are going to have the assets to trade for him. And that's going to be a situation where that guy is going to be potentially putting the Thunder over the top as a contender, you know? Yeah. So it's not going to be like, oh, well, we've got all these picks, we've got to find our first piece. Like, they might have these years in the draft, and if they get lucky and if they draft well, they might be able to find those first pieces, and then everything that they add with their assets is going to be something that could really push them into like title contention in the 2024-26 like time period. So I think that like timing wise, it makes a lot of sense, and it clearly just shows that like Sam Presti has like ultimate job security. You know, there's not a lot of NBA GMs that are willing to take this many assets that far into the future, but it like definitely shows that like, yeah, Sam Presti's not going anywhere, and he's very comfortable where he is. And I think he already has a plan for how they're going to attack this next era.
Yeah. So I agree. Do we have, where do we go from here?
Really, the only thing I want to talk about now is kind of jump past it, so I kind of want to move back just a little bit. Mm-hmm. With the getting Chris Paul, I think the underrated aspect of it is that now, I mean, I'm not entirely sure everybody's salary cap situation, but now it might be a bit, you take on a slightly harder contract to move. Like, I think it's very reasonable to say that Chris Paul's contract is harder to pawn off on somebody than Russell Westbrook's, but now you can move that literally anywhere that's possible, right? Like, you don't have to do right by Chris Paul at all. You don't have to worry about getting an asset back or anything. Like, is that what you think's in play here? Are we going to try and get something done with Miami for sure?
Well, I think you should still try and do right by Chris Paul.
Yeah, I think that there's a certain aspect of, like, Chris Paul is a very influential player, and he is really important to the NBA as a whole. So, like, I don't think that you would want to send him to Charlotte.
Right.
But I agree in that I think that, you know, his contract might be harder to trade, but the Thunder were all under pressure with Russ. Like, trading Russ for nothing would have looked bad to the fan base. Like, it wouldn't have looked bad to like the national media that knows like how bad Russ's contract is. Like, they understand that. But when you're talking about Oklahoma City Thunder fans, if you trade Russell Westbrook and get nothing but salary filler for him, that's going to look really bad, and they're not going to be happy with that. So they're not going to be that way with Chris Paul. Like, fans are not going to give a shit what the Thunder get for Chris Paul in a trade, because they already got the assets they got for Russ. And so I think Thunder fans are just not going to want Chris Paul to be on the team, honestly, because I just don't understand what purpose it would serve for him to be here. Like, it's not like Chris Paul is this known, like, it's not like he's Vince Carter and is known as this really good mentor to young players.
Quite the opposite.
He's actually known as a big jerk.
Yeah, everybody hates playing with Chris Paul, and he's a kind of an asshole. I will say, like, he does seem to be a relatively decent human being off the basketball court. As far as dealing with him as a professional basketball player, he seems like a nightmare. And I do not think that the Thunder are going to want to do that. I've seen a couple different reports about how the Thunder are comfortable with the idea of that happening, of him playing for the Thunder. I think Brett Dawson said that, like, initially it was like, yeah, their plan is to play him. But he said, really, what I meant by that is that they are not ruling it out. Like, they are comfortable with him coming into the season and playing, but it's not what their plan is. So I think the Thunder are going to, I think they're going to try and pawn him off on Miami. And I think Miami might do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, if they don't have to give up, like, because the Thunder were literally asking for at least two of Hero, Winslow, or Bam Adebayo. They wanted two of those guys, and the Thunder just, they're not going to want that kind of, those kind of guys for Chris Paul. They're not going to care. It's just going to be like, give us a salary and you get Chris Paul.
Yeah, if they get Winslow in that deal, I'll be happy.
Yeah,
I'll be happy regardless.
Like, and I think Sam will, I think he'll probably, I think what will end up happening is we will give up picks to take the Chris Paul contract, But in return for giving up picks, I think we'll get one of Bam or Justice Winslow.
Right. Probably. And Justice I don't even Winslow. Think we have to give up the good. Like, we could give Miami back their 2023 protected. And I think that's enough.
Yeah. I would prefer to keep any 2023 picks because that's probably going to be the Bronny and Mikey Williams draft. So I'm saying hold on to those bad boys.
Yeah, but I mean it is lottery protected, so it isn't well, as helpful.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Right, that's when that's
give
like
back to him.
Yeah, that's like one of the least valuable assets the Thunder have accrued, that 2023 protected. Like right. That's and I think
and it would probably honestly be less valuable if you traded him Chris Paul. Like if yeah. we're just being real, like because yeah. that'll be the year after his contract ends. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that. There's no way that Chris Paul is going to finish his contract in Oklahoma City. And I think yeah. there's a greater than 50% chance he gets traded before the season starts.
Yeah.
I hope that happens tomorrow. I would really like to have just an idea of how things are going to go and like
right.
leave it to where like, yeah, Steven Adams and Dennis Schroeder are still on the block, but you know, I that's fine. I yeah. just, I don't want to have like, we went from having a maybe the third worst contract in the league to now probably the second worst contract in the league. But we got two picks for getting right. it done. So I don't
and
know.
And now all we need to do is trade Chris Paul for Andrew Wiggins, get some more picks.
Well, I was talking about, I think John Wall's contract is worse than.
I forget that he exists. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. If they want to give us a couple first round draft picks or three, I would probably want three at least. We can take on John Wall's contract because John Wall's not even going to play this year.
Yeah. That's and, perfect like, for our time.
So like that would help the Thunder quite a bit. So maybe that's the deal that needs to happen. But. Yeah, geez, this is wild, man. Like, just think about when did the Paul George trade happen? I can't even remember what day.
It was Saturday.
Friday morning. Saturday. Yeah, Friday. Yeah, Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Friday,
so it was like
Saturday.
Yeah, less than a week ago. And that feels like it was, you know, 6 months ago to me. Like, it seems so yeah. long ago. And now Russell Westbrook is traded. And that's what I've been obsessed
Darius
with that
Baisley
over the last
is
few
the
days.
Second coming.
Darius Baisley looks incredible in summer league, and now we have freaking Chris Paul, man. Like another Hall of Famer is on the Oklahoma City roster. Like so, hey, at least we still got that going for us. My God, yeah. I'm blown away. Like I've never been as like I've been more surprised by trades, but I've just never been like it's such a weird trade, you know, and it's just like I don't really get it for either side, but it is what you know. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just
it's also such a tough position to be in. It's like the Paul George trade. I could tell people like, you know, like we talked about the last one, the Thunder fans complaining like, no, this is why it's good. This is the plan moving forward. Well, this time the news broke while I was at dinner with my brother William, and our server heard us talking about it. He's like, man, I don't understand why they traded Paul George. And I was like, well, that's what he's like, they need to trade Westbrook. And we were like, well, actually, so I got to play Woj for a second. I got to put on my R.A. Abraham mask. And I was like, actually, Russell Westbrook just got traded. That's what we were talking about. And I told him that we traded him for Chris Paul in two picks. And then it's like, he was upset about it. And I couldn't tell him why it was good, but I also couldn't agree with him that it was bad. It's just like you said, it's just weird and kind of hard to wrap your mind around.
Yeah like I do think both teams got worse, and
yeah,
that's so weird.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Well, if you think about it, like both teams probably got worse, and the Thunder got rid of an extra year of salary and got two first-round draft picks for it.
Yeah.
So, like,
and
in
also
that
the
way,
Thunder
it's
were
a
trying
win.
To get worse.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. Although I did see a projection that the Thunder like had a much higher percentage chance of making the playoffs now, and they were projected to get like 5 more wins, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. It's just so fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really fun to watch the Houston media market have to contort themselves into supporting Russ.
Is that guy going to get a tattoo of Russ's stat line on his face?
I don't know if you guys saw Jason Concepcion calling him Tekashi 31-10-10.
Incredible. Jason Concepcion's Twitter has just been, I mean, with the Bagel Boss video, with the Knicks, with this, like, Jason Concepcion, what a follow, at Network on Twitter.
Yeah, he's one of the best follows on NBA Twitter. Okay, so one thing Ryan and I were talking about, so we don't seem like total monsters that never liked Russell Westbrook.
Right.
We were wondering what are our favorite Russell Westbrook memories? You know, he did play in Oklahoma City for, oh, I think 11 years. And so obviously he did a lot of amazing things while he was here. And, you know, he was one of the best players in the league before the last 2 years. So, Sam, what is your, do you have a memory that you're like, oh, that was the best, that was the coolest thing Russ ever did? Or
I can't think of
like a memory of like, I've never hated Russell Westbrook more than I do right now. Like, I don't know.
There was a game, I think just perfectly encapsulated Russell Westbrook. It was a game Alex and I went to. The Thunder were playing the Clippers. You remember this one, Alex? And it was not a great game, and the Thunder came and pulled it back close at the end. And I think down 2 late, you know, last shot chance, and Russ pulls up, like, pull-up jumper 10 feet behind the line with probably 8 seconds left on the clock and bricks it. And I can't think of anything more Russell Westbrook than that. I mean, obviously, there's, you know, the triple-doubles. There's the what was the time where...
Sam, you have misunderstood this exercise.
No, because it's great, because I love it. Because no matter, like, Russell Westbrook was a guy, he didn't give a shit about anything. And that shot right there, like, that is him to a T. Whether it goes in or it doesn't, like, that's Russ, man. And there are all the great moments. I mean, all the triple doubles. There's the time, what was it? KD had 50, he had 40, and Ibaka had a triple double. Like, I can't remember what the. There's that cool instance. There were so many. I mean, there's tons of Russ game winners that you can go back to. But that moment right there, I was like, that's Russ, man. I can't even be mad at it because, like, that's who we have now. That's who we're riding with. And I just love the hell out of the guy.
Yeah, I was thinking about one, and this, Ryan and I were talking earlier, and there's a couple that I didn't mention. It was one of the playoff series against the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the one that went 7 and Zach Randolph got suspended and all the games went into overtime. And both of these were actually in losses. And that's one thing where you run through all these incredible Westbrook things, and a lot of them happened in losses. So take that how you will. But one of the first one is, like, he had this ridiculous 4-point play. Do you guys remember this when they were down 4 points?
Yeah.
And he had this ridiculous 4-point play. I remember it very well because I was watching it on my phone in a KSI chapter. So, I definitely wanted to be anywhere except where I was. So I was watching the playoffs in chapter, and Russell Westbrook had this crazy 4-point play that made no sense. Like, unbelievable. They went on to lose the game in overtime because that's what happened in that series. Also in that series, I think it was game 5, they were at home and they were down by, I think, 2 points with like 25 seconds to go in the game. And Scott Brooks made like the really dumb coaching decision to not foul because there was just not enough time separating the shot clock and the game clock. And Russ just, like, goes up and steals the ball from Mike Conley and gets a breakaway dunk and ties the game. And then they go into overtime and lose. But, like, both of those plays are just freaking insane. Like, just what he was capable of doing, because, like, nobody else really would do what he did in those two instances. Like the four-point play, like he threw the ball up, was waving his body, like kicking his feet out in every direction. Somehow it went in and he made the shot. Like, that just ultimate Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. I think when you look at all of these Russ plays, like the adjective that comes to mind with all of them, like the linking factor, is like the audacity of them. Yeah. Like, I think beyond everything else, Russell Westbrook is an audacious player. You know, with the four-point play, the breakaway dunk, the just the chucking up
brick,
game-losing bricks. Probably the earliest on one that really stuck out to me in my mind. I don't even remember what year this was, but this was a game against the Jazz, and it was like... I think this happened just before halftime. Like, there was like 3 seconds of the clock, and the Thunder were inbounding on their end of the court, sort of near the baseline. It was a side out near the baseline. And Russ just throws the ball off somebody's back and then jacks up a three and it goes in.
Yeah, I remember that. I think that was Kevin Durant's last year in Oklahoma City. I'm pretty sure that was the year that happened. I remember that really well. I was watching that at
like
home.
That was an astonishing moment. One of the ones that Alex and I talked about before, the left-handed game-sealing dunk over Clint Capella in his MVP season. Just because, like, man, what a, like, that could have gone really poorly. Like, that could have cost the Thunder the game, but instead it was, like, maybe the greatest offhand dunk of all time. And then there was all of the different passes he has tried and succeeded and failed with over the years. There's like just two from his MVP season, the Sham God move to Adams against the Suns. And then there was the between the legs pass. I think it, who did he nutmeg like across the court one-handed?
That was, I think it might have been Corey Joseph. Because it was in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I remember exactly where I was when I watched it. And I remember that I got up and just like was running around my living room because I was just like in just awe like,
how
of
is
the pass.
Thing a person can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like what, probably like a 40-foot pass.
At least,
pass between. Yeah. An opponent's legs one-handed just at a full sprint. Insane.
Yeah, no, there are so many, and like we didn't talk about a lot of his even his best moments. Like obviously the Denver play is probably going to be his like signature. That's probably the signature play of his OKC career that just sticks out to the most people. But like, yeah, I mean, it was a fun ride. Like I think that, you know, a lot of people have come out recently and they talk about how much they hated watching Russell Westbrook play. And I can't identify with that. No. You know what I mean? I can identify with being really disappointed and hating the results that they got you. Like, I completely understand. Like, a lot of these moments we're talking about happened in losses. So, like, I get it. But I don't know how you can't be entertained by Russell Westbrook. Like that to me is like
like that just demonstrates that like you're not approaching Russ's play with the right mindset. Like this isn't gonna be like the Spurs passing the ball with classical music in the background and Bill Simmons losing his mind. Like this is going to be just, you know, something ridiculous and impossible and unexpected in that it couldn't have been expected, because who could have even thought of this? Like, this, like, Russ's game isn't something to be, like, subtly appreciated by the discerning basketball fan. Like, it evokes a response.
Well, and everything about what Russell Westbrook ever did on a basketball court was loud. You know, like, he has the loudest mistakes, he has the loudest successes, because when he's successful, it's usually him, like, driving through a crowd of people and making this crazy layup or just dunking on somebody or taking a three that you know he shouldn't take, but then he makes it, you know? So it's like,
yeah.
Everything is just extremely memorable and just loud. You know, you right. always remember the things that he does. And just like, to me, you have to have been entertained by watching him. Like, that's right. the only way to really, like, it. You're watching basketball incorrectly if you hated watching him play. Like, that's
it's just
100%.
You watch, and it's, to me, it's astonishing and contradictory in the way. It's just, like, such an evocation of his humanity in the superhuman aspects of his play. Like, the fact that it failed so often is what made it real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's a lot to appreciate about the experience of watching Russell play, even if you think it's not always winning basketball. And you're right. It isn't.
It really wasn't. And like, I don't think Russell Westbrook is ever going to win a championship. But I also just don't care. Like, it's, you know, that's fine. Not everybody can win championships. You know, Allen Iverson never won a championship and he was like a cultural icon, you know, so
probably the player that's the most direct comparison to Westbrook is Iverson.
Right, just from their personality and kind of the way they approach basketball, for sure. But I mean, like, think about, like, Damian Lillard's probably never going to win a championship. Yeah. You know, the guy has really hitched his wagon to Portland, and that's one thing that I've been frustrated by is, like, I think dudes should be able to do whatever they want and value whatever they want. You know, it's like, I get, like, you know, I don't understand why Russell Westbrook has to take so much criticism for, I mean, obviously he wanted to get triple doubles. Like, it's a thing that happened, but I also don't think that at any point he ever was thinking like, oh, I hope, like, I don't care about winning. You know, I think that, you know, did you hear like Chauncey Billups?
Yeah.
That's exactly what you were making me think of.
Yeah.
Like, he talked about how Carmelo Anthony cared too much about scoring 30 points. Like, there would be games that he scores 22 and they win easily and he was unhappy after the game. And there would be games where he would score 37 and they would lose, but he was the one in the locker room that was upbeat and like trying to make everybody feel better. And like, that is not Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, you know, was known for his kind of cranky media sessions. And there's a few of those that happened after he had an unbelievable game, but they lost, you know? So like, Russell Westbrook cared more about winning than anything else. It's just the way he put that on the court is different than a lot of other guys.
Right.
You know, like,
he there just, is, yeah, there was nothing about his basketball performance that wasn't a genuine intent to like win. He felt that being himself would be enough. And if he could just be the maximal amount of himself,
exactly,
his team could win.
And look, he's not like Kobe Bryant was 100,000% the same way.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant was a better player than Russ, and Kobe had, you know, probably better teams. Like, he played with freaking Shaq. So,
right.
I mean, Kobe was better and had better teammates at times. So, like, obviously Kobe wound up winning 5 rings and Russ didn't. But Kobe, like, the audacity of Kobe Bryant is like on a whole other level to me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the way Kobe plays and the way Russ plays, like, Russ, it was just, it just looked crazier because it seemed out of control at times, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how you can tell, like, people that don't really pay attention to stuff. Like, there are so many people that think Russ is a bad teammate, and that's just, like, the furthest thing from the truth, man. Right. Like, literally every player that's ever played with him, I mean, maybe besides Kevin Durant, because who knows what's going on with that guy's brain. But, like, literally everyone, no one's ever has anything bad to say about him. I think probably my favorite off the court memory of Russ would be that post game, I think it was in the playoffs, press conference with Steven Adams when I don't know who it was. It might have been Barry Trammell. So they were already, they're bad blood brewing. But he asked Steven Adams, you know, why do you guys suck whenever Russ isn't on the court? And Russ, you know, wouldn't let Steven field the question. talked about how, you know, unfair of a question it was, all that stuff. Like, that's the kind of guy Russ was. And yeah, his play style might be difficult to try and figure out, but the guy's mentality, like, that is, you don't want anything else on the floor with you, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And I just, I'm sorry, I'm not going to blame Russ for Paul George wanting to go play with Kawhi Leonard and be on.
Yeah, that's a, people team. Are like, oh, he drove off another star. And that's the furthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
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 I mean, Russ was almost single-handedly the reason that Paul George re-signed in Oklahoma City and put Oklahoma City in a really good position to rebuild. Like, Russell Westbrook was that guy. Like, Paul George, that dude didn't want to be in Oklahoma City. Like, obviously, he didn't want to be in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that I don't have – and I've heard other people talk about this, that I'm glad I don't have to, like, be frustrated by Paul – or by Russell Westbrook, you know, in terms of the results. I'm glad I don't have to defend him anymore. Like, he's going to the Rockets. I'm not going to root for him in the Rockets. Like, I hope he plays well. I that's fine, but I'm not going to root for the Rockets to win anything. Like, I still don't like them, you know.
If you went back to 2011 and someone told you, like, this is going to break bad and it's going to be because of their personalities, like, you would have thought Russell is the one that blew this up from the very beginning, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And everyone is just so wrong about that then. What a great guy. I mean, there is nothing. Talk about his shooting percentage all you want. There's nothing bad you can say about Russell Westbrook, man. Yeah. I'm going to freaking love the guy forever.
Yeah, I loved watching him play, and I'm glad he's getting to go somewhere where it's probably going to be a better team. And, I mean, I hope he plays well. I hope they lose most of their games. You know, I do not like the Rockets. I don't like, and it's not even the, like, I just, Daryl Morey and the whole organization, the way they are, just makes me angry, you know? And so that's really more to do with it than anything. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird watching Russell Westbrook play in Houston, though. Like, good Lord. I had kind of mentally prepared myself for how, like, Russ was going to look sexy in, like, the Miami Vice jerseys. Like, it was gonna it was gonna be great, but, like,
now he's gotta wear those
he's gonna wear the Chinese Houston. New Year City
edition. That's a little disappointing, but, you know, whatever. I mean, I hope he doesn't get hurt and plays fine. That's it, you know.
It's,
like,
gonna,
I don't
be really fun
to
when he and Harden get to come back to Oklahoma City. Like, I think there's, like, gonna be a real joy to be able to see them and be happy.
I think this kind of opens up the opportunity to stop hating James Harden, because I don't think James Harden really ever had any ill will towards Oklahoma City like Kevin Durant. You know, he wanted to get paid, he wanted to play more.
He cried when
amicable thing. Yeah, like, so I still hate watching James Harden play, but I really feel like it'll kind of be a, we'll be able to mend that bridge.
And also, like, if it blows up and is a disaster, like it could, that's going to be really funny.
It will be one of the most entertaining disasters in the history of basketball if it doesn't go well.
Yes.
Like, it will be so incredible to watch. I mean, yeah, I'm very excited about that. And I saw somebody tweeting about, like, just imagine how many open threes Harden's going to get Russ and he's just going to miss them all. And, like, yeah, I mean, it is not a good basketball fit. There's really no way to look at it as that. Like, unless Russ just all of a sudden becomes a shooter. He leaves Oklahoma City and then he can shoot, you know, like.
Well, this is the thing about Russ, is that he's a player that it's really easy to get irrationally psyched up about in the off season, because, like, he could, like, first off, like, shooting is one of those things where it's not like athleticism where it's like, you know, a player is who a player is. Like, there's always the ability to psych yourself into, well, he's been putting up a lot of shots, you know, TJ Warren really improved it. You know, you can do that with Russ. Like, you can get yourself psyched up about that. And then the other thing is that, like, so much of Russ's, like, inefficiencies in his game is just about decision-making and just style of play. Like, there will absolutely be Houston fans who are like, oh, man, you know, he's going to get in here. He's going to buy into the culture. Finally, he's going to have a good coach in D'Antoni. You know, he's playing for his with his best friend. He's going to set screens. He's going to run off ball. And they're so wrong.
That's the thing. Like, is Houston just going to change the way they play? Like, because that's really what it seems like. You know, like, yeah. They have to change the way they play if this is going to work at all. Because if Harden's just going to work and everybody's just standing around and Russ is just standing around, like, what is that doing for you? And then whenever Russ has the ball, Russ is not a good isolation player, you know? Yeah. Like, so when you're doing the your turn, my turn thing and half the turns aren't working at all, then that's
suddenly
tough.
Yeah. It's one thing, like, because if the your turn, my turn Harden possessions average like 1.4 points a possession, and mm-hmm. then Russ's average like 0.8,
yeah.
this is not tenable.
That's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird, man. I hope it doesn't blow up for Russ. Like, if it could go in a scenario where, like, Harden is the one that looks bad, that's the one that I hope happens.
Y'all remember how worried we were that Melo was going to leave and look good in Houston, and everyone was going to blame Russ and OKC?
I don't really remember being worried about this.
I do. It wasn't, like, a big worry, but, yeah, I remember that a little bit.
Yeah. What if Russ goes there and he's, like, a 40% three-shooter and regains his confidence at the free throw line?
Yeah, so that's going to be funny because, like, 90% of all the blame that happened in Oklahoma City was always on Russ, and now it's going to be Russ that's in the different situation. So then is Billy Donovan going to be the guy that
– oh, man.
Or is it going to be, like, the Thunder organization?
Somehow that would be really fun because imagine Thunder fans squaring that with, like, the 3-year extension Billy's going to sign as soon as they trade Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah. I legitimately think the Thunder need to extend Billy Donovan. I think that needs to happen relatively soon because the Thunder need really good assistant coaches to go into this era. And for that to happen, the head coach is going to have job security.
Yeah.
And I think Billy Donovan could be really freaking good coaching a non-Russell Westbrook basketball team. And I would like to see it. I hope we get to see it for multiple years. But yeah,
it'll be fun, man. It'll be fun. I'm excited for it. I am
very excited to watch the young guys grow mm-hmm. as a team. I'm excited to see Billy actually coach. It's gonna be fun, y'all. But y'all keep reminiscing. I gotta hop off.
All right.
Y'all reminisce, talk about the future of the Thunder, play Marvin's Room as the outro. We could be sad. We'll be sad a little bit longer, but then it's time for the rebuild. Mm-hmm. All right, later, y'all.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Glad that guy's out of here. Jeez.
What else do we have to discuss here?
Honestly, I feel like we got to most of the stuff that needed to be talked about in regards to this, but
yeah. Well, it's just so weird to record this podcast and not go for 2 hours, but the actual reason we're doing this is because like we said, like, really this trade is still happening. Like,
right.
It's a question of what happens with Chris Paul now.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about what the Thunder are going to look like this year because it's still like, and that's my biggest disappointment is just there is still moves to be made because the Thunder are still over the luxury tax and you would assume that they're going to want to duck that. And you're going
to not hard for them to do, but
yeah. Right. You assume that the Thunder are going to want to trade Chris Paul. You assume I'm waiting for, I think the first thing to look for is going to be what Chris Paul thinks. Like, we need to know what Chris Paul's mood about the situation is.
Yeah.
You know, like, does Chris Paul want to play here? I doubt that he will.
Yeah, I have to imagine he wouldn't.
Right, but and then, like, you've got to look at how amenable are the Thunder going to be to him and trying to find the best place for him. Are they going to be like, yeah, we would love to send you to Miami. Let's get you to Miami. Or are they just going to be like, Charlotte decided to be really stupid and we're going to trade you to them. You know, yeah. Like, I think that is, I mean, you wouldn't do that to Russ, and that it's not impossible for them to do that to Chris Paul, but it would look better if you could send Chris Paul to a place that he wants to go. Miami does make sense, but man, it's just, you know, I guess we'll find out. We'll probably get some tidbits. Like, we need to know if, I think if the Thunder and the Heat engage in talks about Chris Paul, then a trade will happen. You know what I mean? Because I think it's just going to come down to, is Miami even interested? There have been reports that they are, but how far are they really willing to go with that interest? Do they really want him on the team? And that's tough, man. I guess, like, we have plenty of time to talk about what a freaking Chris Paul Thunder team will look like, and I will not be excited about that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so, like, one of the first things that I saw as we were processing this was a tweet from Sam Amick, who knows?
Sam Amick.
Yeah, that's it. Reporting that essentially, like, the Thunder were good to go on just running this squad with Chris Paul and Gallinari, which to me is the worst possible thing for them to do. It actually really took the wind out of my sails.
Yeah, I agree. Because
the thought of that happening is just miserable. Like, we're talking a starting lineup of, like, Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, Mike Muscala, Steven Adams.
Yeah. Well, something that I think you're going to hear brought up, I think it's a horrendous idea, but I've heard it brought up 1,000 times ever since the Thunder started acquiring assets. You're going to hear Bradley Beal brought up.
No.
And
just don't.
The deal with Bradley Beal is he's very good at basketball. I think he would be a great player to have on a basketball team. He has 2 years left on his contract.
Yeah.
And basically, when you have 2 years left on your contract, essentially you have 1 year left on your contract. So the Thunder would have a single season in which they aren't going to be very good. I mean, with Chris Paul, Danilo Gallinari, Steven Adams, Bradley Beal, like, you would have a season to prove to him that, like, oh, you need to stay. Like, because if you don't get Bradley Beal to basically re-sign after his first year or commit to it, then there's no point in keeping him for his last year, because you can't give up assets and then lose Bradley Beal after 2 years.
Yeah.
Just not possible. Like, that's something that... And
Washington,
like,
for one thing, Washington isn't interested in trading Bradley Beal. So yeah, people need to stop bringing them up. It's not going to happen.
I do think it's possible that it does happen this season, though. Like, I think if they start really, really, really poorly, they're going to look at, like, oh, he's going into the last year of his contract. We need to cut bait now. So, but the deal is, it's like, if he had 4 years left on his contract, like, he had just re-signed and played the first year, like, okay, fine. Four years is enough time.
He's a smart player. He's young. He's good.
Yeah. But, like, the guy has 2 years left on his contract. Trading him for him would, I think, honestly be a waste of assets. Because they're going to ask for a shit ton of assets from the Thunder to get him. So, like, get that out of your mind. It's not a good idea. It would actively harm the future of the Thunder if they were to make that trade. So I think at some point I'm going to go through a list and try to find some guys that are, like, on their rookie contract right now that I think are not going to be in love with the situation that they're in on their next contract. And those are the kind of guys that I might look for the Thunder to trade for. You know, I like maybe like a Jaylen Brown type or a Brandon Ingram type. Like, those are the kind of guys that I might look at the Thunder trading assets for, but, you know, that's not going to happen, you know, soon. That would be a year or two down the road. So, Yeah, I mean, but yeah, don't trade. They need to not trade for Bradley Beal. That's like 100%
would be ridiculously stupid. It's extremely important that they don't trade for Bradley Beal. I cannot believe that the Portland deal we have talked about on the past two podcasts hasn't happened yet. It's like, I don't know. Obviously, there are only so many hours of the day for Sam Presti to field calls. And this feels like the sort of thing that he would have to approach Portland about.
Yeah, well, and it's also a situation where this season, I think, is going to be one of the more competitive seasons in recent memory, and maybe even in the history of the NBA. So if there's a team, especially in the West, that's like, we're a move away from really being there, there might be legitimate competition to get a guy like Danilo Gallinari. You know what I mean? So they might be able to honestly do better than what we've talked about with the Kent Bazemore and a first round draft pick trade. So I think that I'm not going to freak out if they don't trade Danilo Gallinari before the season starts. I think it's probably more likely that they don't. But I do think by the trade deadline, Gallinari will be gone. And I think that they could wind up getting a really good player. I'm just looking at Matt Moore just tweeted a stat, and he said there are 51 players in the league that had a minimum of 100 isolations last year. James Harden ranked number one in points per possession. Chris Paul was 27th. Care to guess where Russell Westbrook ranked on that list?
I'm currently looking.
No.
I wish you had told me not to look at this Matt Moore tweet before you had told me about this Matt Moore tweet. The answer is that he is 48th
out of 51 players,
third from last.
Yeah, which I wonder who the last three are. Like, I'm trying to think who that could even possibly be. I don't know.
Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins, maybe. Yeah. Man, this is a shit on Andrew Wiggins podcast. Look, that's where we are.
Earlier today, and because I had forgotten about John Wall that I said this, I suggested that he was actually the worst contract in the NBA. I guess I did that on this podcast too, huh?
Yes, you did.
Entirely because I forgot John Wall exists.
Right. Yeah, maybe Russ is the fourth worst contract in the league and Paul's the third worst contract. So who knows?
Well, we moved up a spot and got some picks for it. And honestly, it's great.
Yeah, it's great. It's good. They have so many freaking picks. It's wild. I don't think I have anything else to say. I think I'm pretty much maxed out on this particular subject. I can't wait to see how everything turns out with the roster. Like I just want Chris Paul gone now. And that is I've said this a million times. Like, it sucks because I wanted to be done. I wanted to be comfortable with where they were after the Russell Westbrook trade. And here I am now. I just like, when are they going to trade Chris Paul? You know? So that's my only complaint in this situation.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or the Google Play Store. Follow us on Twitter at @AlexBPurdy. @NotThatSamDavis and @RWMaxi. You can read a sort of essay I've written about this situation over the past few days on oklahomadrill.wordpress.com. And, you know, if you enjoyed this podcast or that essay, share it around. Let people know about us because, you know, there are only so many voices crying out in the wilderness about this right now. I think we have some of the better takes on this. And you should share those with your friends. Maybe get them to relax, get them to have a better understanding of the situation. And we'll be talking to you guys hopefully soon. Certainly if and whenever Chris Paul gets traded.